Let's give Him a big praise. Oh, You're worthy. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. We love You, Lord. Thank You. God bless You. You can be seated. I'm here as you are to celebrate with Pastor Strain and his wife, 14 years of working for the Lord here. We love these people. God must have loved you too. Smiled upon this community when 14 years ago He sent this man here to do a work. And my, what an accomplishment for 14 years. All of the beautiful buildings and the wonderful saints of God that stood a while ago claiming to be a part of this church. Wow. That's just all I can say is wow. God is good. I'm glad that He's on my side. I'm glad that I'm on His side. I'm glad that He's for me and not against me. He wants to take me to heaven. He wants to take you to heaven. He's doing all that He can to do that. And I'm going to work with Him, because what I read about in the Word of God about that place called hell, I don't want anything to do with that. Nothing to do with it. God is still working miracles. He's still answering prayers. That's just who He is and what He does. He's on our side. And the song said that He's awesome. That's our God we're talking about. He's awesome. I believe that. He's awesome. Praise God. Amen. God bless all of these ministering brethren tonight. I have a very, very high respect for them and a love for them. We just need one another in this hour. Praise God. Brother, Sister Strain, we love y'all. You're very, very dear friends, and congratulations to you. And I'm glad my wife and my granddaughter could be with me. Two against one. That gets tough, I promise you. Sister Strain said something today about me not praying. And I said, what are you talking about? You drive 600 and something miles with two women and one man in the car. I said, no, I've done plenty of praying. I'll promise you. Praise God. But I'm anxious to hear Brother Copeland tonight. One of my favorite preachers preached in our pulpit many times. And I want to hear from God tonight. Do you want to hear from the Lord? Tell him about it.
Thank you, Brother Copeland. He stood in this pulpit just a year or so ago, and he preached about God working the night shift. Amen. Aren't you glad God still works the night shift? Appreciate you, Brother McDonald. Brother Tim,
honor, amen, to see such a gathering of friends. Thank you so much for being here tonight to be with us on this special occasion. I thank all the ministering brethren tonight. I've expressed that to them already. Words are sometimes inadequate to really express the way you truly feel. I'm honored these great men are here tonight. Brother Bowen, I see you out there. I'd like for you to come sit with us tonight, Brother Bowen, if you would. Another good friend of mine. Tonight, after service, we'd like to invite all of our ministering families to come and join us in the back. I would that we had enough space for everyone. Maybe the Lord tarries, we're going to be able to do that. But tonight, if you'll please bear with us, that we want to certainly make sure we welcome and greet our ministering families. There'll be some subway will be open. I'm sure some traveling back towards Hattiesburg, Loosedale. Tomorrow night's going to be great services beginning here at 7:30 for the Booker. I think they've got the skating ring that's going to be reserved starting at 11 p.m. for all the youth that will want to come and have a great time. And so we're just happy to be here tonight. But I tell you, I'm so anxious to hear Brother Copeland. I want to just highlight this statement that I'm about to make here, and I mean this from the depths of my heart. You know, you hear a lot of preaching, a lot of different ministers, and I know that 1 Corinthians 3 said that God gives to every man a minister to whom He believes, amen. But there are some ministries that I don't know. I know some people like chocolate ice cream, some like vanilla, and I guess diversity is good. But if I had my pick tonight, my flavor, Brother Copeland's ministry always blesses me personally, in that I feel the burden of his preaching. And I just thank God for Brother Copeland, Brother Tim Copeland, his ministry, doing a great work. I was able to be in Atlanta, Georgia, the day that he came to Buford. Brother Cooley turned the church over there. He went there. He was preaching revival in his local church, evangelized for many, many years. I remember him setting up his travel trailer there at the church, a small church. Praise God. I'm still glad there's still preachers that don't have to look for a big church. But you see, you've got to invest in what you feel is God's calling. Amen. 14 years ago, I've told this story many times, I pulled into McLean to come check this church out. I was remodeling the church at Richton. They told me about the church. I was evangelizing. I came by. I drove in the community before I got to the church. I just put a big X on it. I said, I'm not interested. It's not a booming area. It doesn't have restaurants. It doesn't have, you know, just no jobs. I mean, I'm not interested because I'm high strung. I know y'all don't know that, but I am. But I turned around and I drove back out. When I got back up there by the dollar store, I said, nice church, turned around and left. I was going out of here. I wasn't even interested. I got back around just before I hit 98. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I pulled over to the side of the road and said, God, please forgive me. I have prejudged this community, this people. God, I know that everybody, everywhere deserves an apostolic preacher. And I said, I want you to know, God, I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. I don't have to go where I think I need to go. I'll go where you want me to go. And I came here by the divine ordinance of the Lord. And God's been good to me. This is the greatest people. You know what I like about this church? They love me and I love them. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I think there was like 21 voting members at that time. God's been so good to us. And I'm humbled. I was laying prostrate on the office floor, expressing my heart to God, even this evening, letting the Lord know, hey, God, I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. Brother Copeland's preaching, the reason why that I like his preaching, because it changes me. I like preaching that changes me, don't you? And I want Brother Copeland to, I called today, invite him to come eat lunch with us in Hattiesburg. Brother McDonald was coming through. I said, come join us. He was at the church praying. I could tell by the tone of his voice that I interrupted his praying. He said, brother, if it wouldn't be offensive, I think I'm just going to stay here at the church today. Brother Cox is away. I'm by myself. And I want to be ready for service tonight. And I'm so thankful. I told Brother Copeland, I said, thank you, Brother Copeland. He has spent time in prayer. And I'm telling you, we need to move with the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, if you don't have the Holy Ghost in this service tonight, and I know that Brother Bruce texted me and said there was someone to come for the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is being poured out. If you're a backslider, you need to get back to the Lord. I'm telling you. Praise God. Tonight's a good night to get the Holy Ghost. But I am truly, truly honored. I mean this, Brother Copeland, Brother Tim Copeland. Thank you for coming tonight, being with me, this church. And I want you to come. And I know these people are here. A lot of them realize, they said, you know, Brother Copeland's going to be preaching. I'm going to hear Brother Copeland preach. How many of you come to hear Brother Copeland preach tonight? Why don't you make him welcome? Give him a good hand as he comes to minister the word of the Lord to us.
To the name of the Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Isn't it good to be in church tonight?
Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad to be a little part of this great celebration. Hallelujah. People haven't come to hear me. They've come to celebrate with y'all. 14 years. And what a great work God has done in this place. We love and appreciate Brother and Sister Strain and their family. Excited about what God is doing in their lives and their children's lives. Just a lot of good things happening around here. And I'm so moved to see all these tremendous preachers on this platform tonight. I don't know what I'm doing here, but great, great men. I wish there was a perfect way to salute you and tell you how much that I love and appreciate each and every one of you. Appreciate this church and God's people. Hallelujah. It's most beautiful, wonderful people in all the world are apostolic people that's been born again. And God bless each and every one of you. I'm going to preach something tonight with the help of the Lord that is certainly not a anniversary message. I have wrestled with this and several confirmations that I really believe that this is the will of God tonight. And I'm not going to give into any kind of pressure of what we're expecting, what we perceive needs to happen. But I want to obey the Lord tonight. And I really need the help of the Lord in this place. I feel the strength of everyone here tonight. And thank you so much. If you will stand with me in heart and spirit. And let's see what the Lord will do for us tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 1. It is good to see Brother McDonald from all the way up in Oklahoma. Hallelujah. We love them so much. We've spent a lot of time with them. In the early part of the week, I was with Brother Cox. Love him and appreciate him. And enjoy the services with him. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city. The rich, one rich, and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nursed up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was kindled greatly, greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. I believe that everyone here tonight would agree with me that we're living in very perilous times. There seems to be an attack across our country and our world against churches, against ministers, against their families, against anyone that wants to do right, stay right, live right. I have faced some things in our local assembly that I've never faced before, and this is 20 years. And yet, in spite of all of that, there has been some tremendous things that have happened. I told our church the other night, Charles Dickens wrote Tale of Two Cities, and he said it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. And I think that's where we're living. It is the best of times and it is the worst of times. We're facing things to try to pastor church and try to help young people and help older people. Homes stay together, and it's overwhelming to think of what's happening with some people and what can happen to us. All of us are a target. I'm talking to Brother Cox this week, It's frightening to see what's happening to our nation. Our nation is just, it's not the America that we have always known. And such infringements upon our privacy. I'm going to tell you, the eyes of the Antichrist is on us. And he is the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser. He's looking for something to hem us in, hedge us in. And accuse us. He hates us. And if we get out of here alive, it will be nothing but the miracle of God. I'll tell you, God's going to have to keep us. God's going to have to help us. And I read in your hearing tonight a story that was just a tragic story. Chapter 4 tells of what happened with King David and we need God more than we've ever needed Him before. I want to try to preach to you tonight. Not preach before you, but preach to you and preach to myself. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and mercy and grace. You're such a precious Savior. God, there's none of us that are perfect. You are perfect. I thank you for the great example that you give us, Lord. Lord Jesus, I know that you are on our side, God. You help us so many times when we don't help ourselves. You watch out for us when we don't watch out for ourselves. And I thank you for that, God. Pray that you would anoint me and help me tonight, God, to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, we believe you, Jesus. We believe you and we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. There are five characters that stand out in this story tonight. Such a tremendous story. And a moving story. The greatest stories that have ever been written are written within the lids of this book. And this is a story that is full of lessons that we need to learn. Five characters that we have preached about so many times in the story of David's sin of adultery with Bathsheba and his murder of her husband Uriah. Five characters here tonight are David, Bathsheba, Uriah, Joab, and Nathan. David, we know, is the king of Israel, the greatest king that Israel ever had. He'd been chosen and anointed by God. He was blessed by God, and his victories were many. He was a great, great leader. He was a man that knew what was right. He knew what ought to be done. He knew better than what he did in this story. He understood the law of God, and he understood retribution and accountability. He was the king. Then we have Joab, that was the captain of the host of David's army. A dedicated man to his profession. He was not a man of conscience. He was a man of opportunity. He was a company man. I've met men like that, that was willing to do whatever they had to do to advance their position and to advance their influence and their rank in what they were involved in. He was the head of the armies of King David and Israel. He was a military man. He was a man that knew how to take command. He was a man that was interested in the workings of this nation. He was kind of like someone that comes to church and they're interested in the activities around the church. They're interested in the different things that are going on. And yet, while they are interested in participating in what the church does, they're not really interested in the God of the church. And that's the way that Joab was. He was a man that could maneuver and plan and do whatever needed to be done. And yet, in all of his doings, it never crossed his mind whether it was right or it was wrong. It was just something that he saw that needed to happen. Then we have Uriah. He was a man that was a picture of loyalty and faithfulness. He was one of David's mighty men, listed in these writings. He was a man that in times past had jeopardized his life to stand with his King David. He was the epitome of faithfulness and dedication. He was willing to lay everything on the line for the people of God. He was a man of integrity and principle that refused to let down on duty. He would not shift his burden and responsibility to what he was supposed to do. He would not take it easy when the rest of Israel was at war. His faithfulness and his loyalty cost him his wife and his life. And then we have Bathsheba. No doubt she was a good person in so many ways, but she was a weak person. She was a person that could not resist temptation when it seemed to be an advantage to her. She was being courted by someone that was important. It meant a lot to her to realize this was an opportunity to better her position in life. She could boast to others that she and David were very close friends. And so Bathsheba sets aside her wedding vows and her promises and her own innocence and her conscience, and she yields to the temptation to become King David's lover. And then there is the prophet Nathan, the bold preacher, who stands before peasants and kings with a strong and steady voice, with a burning truth in his heart. He's got God's fresh message in his heart, and he does not hesitate to deliver it, regardless to whom it is to be delivered. He refuses to hedge or digress, and he speaks in words that are easily to understand by whoever heard him. In this portion of scripture, he uses a parable, a little story, but yet he goes on to explain the parable in detail. He's a loyal man, a man that is sold out to God, a man of courage, a man of faith and dedication, a man who without him, Israel would have lost direction and would have never known what was right and what was wrong. He was a true man. At the same time, he was not a man that wanted to hurt anyone. It was not that he was out to injure. He loved the people of God. And yet, he put the Word of God and the will of God above all things in his life. He put the truth and the message above his own good, even to the point of jeopardizing his own life. And he stands before David in a very touchy situation. And instead of hiding portions of the message, he tells him the whole counsel of God as he delivers this message. Five characters in this story. And the Bible tells us that these things are written for our admonition. Lessons that need to be learned. Words that need to carefully be sifted through and listened to. An important story. And so the people that are under the sound of my voice tonight, I hope to God that God can help me to speak in a way that He wants me to speak. And that you would take heart to what I have to say tonight. We all know the story, the sin of David's life and what this wonderful man did. It was the one dark page in his life. It was the one dark line that was drawn across his biography. It was David's bad day. Something happened in the life of David that would forever change his life and the lives of his children. And so this is the story of these characters. But I've not come really to talk that much about these five characters. What I want to talk about tonight is the one remaining character that so many times in our preaching and when we think of this story, we do not think of this most important character. It's kind of a reflection many times of how in our own lives we get caught up in a situation or a bind or some tragic moment of life. And maybe several people are involved. It may be people that are in the church. And all we can see is the different human personalities that are in the church. And we think, now this is the sum total of everything that is going on. But really, as vile as the story is, and full of sin and deep-dyed colors, and the terrible things that happened, and those that perished, and those that suffered, and those that committed the terrible crimes, there is one in the shadows that is more wicked and more vile than poor King David and Bathsheba and Uriah and all of these that were involved. And we see this character in verse 4 when the Bible says, "And there came a traveler." There came a traveler. Israel was in war. Faithful, loyal Uriah and Joab was on the battlefield. They were giving it their best. There were men that were losing their lives for the cause of Israel. And yet, for some reason, David is not where he's supposed to be. He's walking on the roof of his house. I don't know. He must have got up that morning and said, "You know what? I don't think I'll go to battle today. I've given a lot to Israel. I've been an example to others. I'm a giant killer, and there are others that have been inspired by my deeds, and now they are killing giants. And it is a day of war. It is a day of conflict. But I think today that I'm just going to lounge around and take it easy. The will of God was to go to the battle. It was a time, the Bible says, when kings went to war. And yet, he decided, I'm going to do my own thing today. I'm going to just let the cause of God go wanting and hurting. It was in the midst of this kind of attitude that David had, that his life and his name and his record and his future was forever marred and changed. David sees Bathsheba and she's taking a bath and he's taken up by her beauty and he calls for her and you know the story how that he commits adultery with her. It seems that as soon as the episode was apparently over, he sends her back to her house and he closes his door as if to close the episode in his life. That's the way it is so many times with sin. We think that we can just close the door and it's over with. And with David, that was the way it was. He was so encaptured with her beauty and she comes and they have an affair and then he doesn't keep her. He sends her home. I believe that would imply to us that it was not what he thought it was going to be. It was not as good as he thought it was going to be, because that's the way it is always with sin. Sin never produces what it promises. The devil knows how to advertise, and he knows how to tell us, hallelujah, things that really are nothing more than just fantasies. I just want to stop and tell you, we're living in a world that's caught up in fantasies. We're living in a world that is getting out of touch with the reality around them. Hallelujah. Young people and adults that are getting to the place they can't even hold a conversation and look somebody in the eye and an ebb and flow between them as they converse and they talk to each other. Living in this cyber world and texting and interneting and, you know, I read an article just a few weeks ago where they're trying to develop some kind of program where people can go on vacation to different parts of the world. But it's all in their mind. They can stay home and go on vacation. Man, that's wanting to live in a fantasy world, isn't it? And so David, he sends her home and she goes home and it isn't very long till she finds out that she is with child of her adultery. And you know the story of how that David calls Uriah off the battlefield and two different attempts he makes to try to get him to spend the night with his wife and hoping that he would go home and cover up their sin. But this man's loyalty and his duty to his fellow soldiers out in the heat of the battle would not allow him to spend one night in the luxury of his home. It is then that he contacts Joab. It's kind of a cold thing that a man so sweet and good as David could write a letter personally to Joab to take care of Uriah and send that letter by the hand of Uriah himself. You put him on the front line, and when you get him toward the front and you're all there with him, I want you to withdraw yourself that he is destroyed. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what sin can quickly do in our lives and in our minds. And so that was what happened. And maybe David thought, well, I've taken care of this. But suddenly, the prophet Nathan, unannounced, comes to David's house. And he's got a message. He's got a little story. And he tells about two men, a rich man and a poor man, and how that this rich man had many, many, many lambs, and this poor man had just one ewe lamb. And it was a special lamb. Lived in his house and drank out of his cup and was dear to his children and meant so much to him. And then one day a strange stranger comes, a traveler comes and knocks on the door. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. And he welcomes this traveler in. And the rich man decides that he needs something to eat. But instead of him going to and taking one of his many lambs that he had available, he went to this poor man's house and he took this one little ewe lamb and slaughtered it and served it to this hungry traveler. When David heard the story, he was so furious. He was beside himself and he said, "As the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing is going to die." You know, sometimes it's hard for us, if we're not careful, to recognize when God is speaking to us. In fact, there's some people sitting here tonight that God's trying to talk to you. There's something around the corner. There's somebody that's going to come visit you. And you're going to need what I'm talking about tonight. And, oh my God, help us to sit up and then wake up and realize, hallelujah, that we are here for such a time as this. Hallelujah, this is not just pre-programmed, the different personalities and the different people that are sitting on this platform and the people that are sitting on the pews of this church house tonight. I believe that in times like this, God chooses to speak to the hearts of men and women, and God can change our eternal destiny if we'll hear what has to be said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he said, this man's got to die. And not only that, but he's going to restore this man fourfold for the lamb that he has taken. And he was all worked up about it. He did not realize that David had his number. So quickly David jerks the cover off of him. And he says, you know who that rich man was? It was you, David. It was you. Thou art the man. Of course, the poor man was Uriah. The rich man was King David. And all of his possessions and all of his wives and all of his concubines. Hallelujah. And Bathsheba was the little lamb. Oh yeah, but who? Who was the traveler? The traveler that he was talking about. I want to preach about the traveler tonight. The reason I want to preach about this traveler is because he's still traveling. Been about 3,000 years since this story took place. I'm going to tell you, this fella's still knocking on people's doors. He's moving around. I won't tell you, he don't have any respect. He'll knock on a preacher's door. It's hard to believe that he would knock on King David's door, this sweet singer of Israel. Hallelujah. It's just unbelievable. Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Which goest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Hallelujah. The audacity of Satan himself. That Lucifer that was cast out of heaven and the light went out of his life. To boldly present himself among the sons of God. It's amazing that God would allow this to happen. But I want to tell you, it's part of our training here. I'm going to tell you, I said it's part of our training. We've got some decisions to make of who we're going to give allegiance to and who we're going to live for and the kind of people that we want to be and the place that we want to go when the lights are turned out on this planet and time shall be no more. It's amazing that he presented himself. What are you doing? I'm going here and there in the earth and up and down. I'm a traveling devil. I'm a moving around devil. I knock on everybody's door. I go into everybody's subdivision. I do my best to get in everybody's house. I'm a traveling devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, but Be sober and diligent, vigilant, because your adversary of the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, he's at church tonight. He's at this celebration tonight. 14 years, it looks like, with a bunch of made-up minds and a bunch of hard-headed preachers that he'd just back off and say, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else. But no, he don't just spend his time in New Orleans somewhere, or Atlanta, Georgia, or Hollywood. I want to tell you, he goes to rural areas. Hallelujah. He's a social type of guy. He's a traveling around devil. Hallelujah. He makes house calls. You don't have to go to him. He'll come to you. That's the reason there ain't no sense in us going to some kind of place and get all by ourselves. Hallelujah. And think that that's going to be the answer. I want to tell you, he'll find you where you're hiding. You can go to a monastery and he'll be there. Eat grapes and nuts and just stay away from everything. But the devil will find you because he's a traveler. Hallelujah. He's looking for a place to land. Matthew 12:4-3, when the unclean spirit has gone out of the land, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. Hallelujah. Hey, it's happening tonight. You see, if we're not careful, all we'll see is the people we want to talk about. Hallelujah. We talk about David. We talk about Bathsheba and their mistakes and all that's involved. But I want to tell you, there's more involved in church trouble than what's seen by the natural eye. There's more that's involved when situations arise than just a personal, opinions about things and my rights and your rights. You need to ask yourself the question, what's driving the feelings that I have in my heart? Who is it that's working behind the scenes that manipulated and setting the stage for our demise? Oh, yes. He's out to destroy us. He's a traveler. He's a traveler. And he's getting around. Somebody said, well, you know, I think I can put up with a little bit of the devil. I'm satisfied to go to a compromising church. I think I can handle some things that most people can't handle. I don't believe you can. Hallelujah. There's only one way to handle the devil. James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. The first thing you've got to do is you've got to have a conscious understanding that I need God in my life. I've been preaching 43 years, and I need God more than I've ever needed him. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, it doesn't matter that I've got some kind of position, or I call myself a preacher, or I call myself a saint of God, or a Sunday school teacher, or a choir director. I want to tell you what you need more than somebody saying, hey, you're this or you're that. You need God in your life. We need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost to fall in this building tonight. Hallelujah. Something needs to shake us. Hallelujah. To our very foundations, and let us realize, we're in the last mile of the race. My God, the perils of this last hour. Hallelujah. Aren't we warned in the New Testament? Hallelujah. That this is a special time. It's a time of awareness. It's a time that we need to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. Spirits coming against the world that we've never known. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you about this traveler. Here David is. Here's a man that when we read about him, it's such a beautiful personality. What a good man. Young man that goes around writing hymns and songs and little courses. Oh yeah. Nice guy. Kind guy. What a great record in history he had. All of his brothers were passed up, and the man of God, Samuel, laid that his hand on him and poured that honey sweet oil on his head and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. He was a nice guy. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how beautiful any of our past is. It's no matter how careful we try to maintain our reputation and who we are. Hallelujah. Any time that we allow the devil just opportunity, just a small segment of time to come and do what he wants to do, we are in a dangerous position. Hallelujah. When we give place to the devil, anything can happen. I'm not here to glorify the devil. I'm not here to glorify his power. I'm going to tell you, he is not invincible. Hallelujah. There's a greater power in this building than the power of Satan. God Almighty is in this house, and his power is available to us. I don't want to magnify the devil, but I want to tell you what you do need to understand. It doesn't matter how many promises we got in this book. It doesn't matter how many people's pulling for us and on our side and trying to encourage us. We can have a mama and a daddy and brothers and sisters and a spouse and children saying, come on, you can make it, you can make it. Hallelujah. But the fact of the matter is, we've got to make some decisions. Hallelujah. Nobody's going to be drugged to heaven. You're going to have to make up in your mind, I'm going to save myself from this untoward generation. I'm not going to float with the tide. I'm not going to live in indecision. Hallelujah. I'm going to have some principles in my life that I'm going to hold true to. Hallelujah. I'm going to hold on to the confession of faith that I made a long time ago. I'm not going to cast away my confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, any day that we live without the power of God, we greatly increase the potential of trouble being on our hands. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Any time that we step out of God's will for an hour or two, anything can happen. Anything can take place. Can you believe this traveler came to David's house and knocked on his door? Oh, yes. David opens the door, and there's the traveler standing there. And he says, come on in, man. The traveler says, I'm hungry. I've come to eat with you. Man, I've got plenty to eat. Oh, you come at the right place and the right time. I'm on vacation, and you know, I'm just kind of chilling out. I'm just kind of here by myself, and man, I got all kinds of stuff to eat. Oh, David, you're naive. You don't understand this traveler. He's not satisfied with just anything to eat. He's not satisfied with just, hallelujah, just whatever. Hallelujah. He's not interested in things that are ordinary as far as food is concerned. Hallelujah. He don't like anything that's upright and righteous and pure and clean and holy. Hallelujah. He doesn't want any of that. He's a devil that lives on filth. He lives on perversion. He lives on twisted things. He's got an appetite that's messed up. He likes evil things. He devours. He destroys. He pulls down. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief has come to kill and steal and destroy. That's what he's all about. Hallelujah. That's what he lives on. That's what it takes to please him. He's not just interested in you going and getting any lamb. I know that things are no different here or anywhere else in the world than they are in our church. I just recently saw the traveler knock on a few doors in our church. Three specific young couples that were jewels and like my children. They called me daddy. Saw them getting married. Saw their lives change. I've seen the traveler come into people's house. They just, you know, they're carnal and they're not right. They're not praying the way they need to be. And he knocks on their door. Come on in here. Come on in. Make yourself at home. Oh, yeah. He knows how to socialize. He's like some people in churches that the devil's always using. That they can get around. I'm going to tell you, they have a way of getting around from house to house and spreading their poison. and just kind of suggesting things, you know. Not really saying anything, but really saying a lot of things. And that they know how to just make it so spiritual. Like, oh, you need to pray for Sister So-and-so. Have you heard? Oh, yeah. Feed on that stuff. That's what they love. They're like the buzzard. Hallelujah. He soars in the sky, almost out of sight, but his keen eye can look down hundreds and thousands of feet down and see the smallest rodent under a tree somewhere dying. He doesn't just see the bubbling streams and the waterfalls and the beautiful flowers and the regal mountains. All he sees is something that's dead or something that is dying. That's what he lives on. He lives on the decaying. He lives on destruction. He lives on that that's dead. Oh, there's something wrong with Pentecostal people that try to hang around our churches. They want to broadcast the latest thing that's going on. It's a shame if a preacher's ever like that would pick up the phone and say, hey, have you heard about this? Hey, guess what's in the paper? Guess what's taking place around here? Hallelujah. My God, what kind of a spirit? What kind of an attitude is that? That's the spirit of the traveler. And I want to tell you, this traveler, I've seen him get into people's houses. I've seen him start eating until he ate all the clothes out of the closets. He ate all the food out of the refrigerator. He ate the furniture off the floor. He ate the whole house. He ate the children up. Oh, yes. Because he's got an appetite that can never be satisfied. It don't matter what you feed him, he's never satisfied. I said he's never satisfied. He's always wanting more and more and more and more. Yes. And so when we live outside of God's will, for even a moment, we significantly increase our chances of being tempted and overcome. Hallelujah. You know, you lay out of church one time without a reason. Hallelujah. And if you recover and get back, it's nothing but a miracle of God. I'm telling you, one night, you just sit back and say, you know, I don't think I'm going to go to church. You know, if I was a Jehovah's Witness, and I had a Pentecostal in my neighborhood, and I knew what they stood for, and I watched them come and go and come and go and come and go from church, and I learned what night they had service. If it was a Wednesday night and it got to be about 8 o'clock Wednesday night and their car was still in the garage and the lights was on, I'd look at that and I'd say, you know, this is a good time for me to go ring their doorbell. It's a good time for me to go talk to them. I'm going to tell you, that's the way this traveler operates. He finds you when you're out of the will of God. He finds you when you're not where you're supposed to be. Can you imagine the danger of just being 2 hours? You know, I'm just going to lay back and, you know, I just think I'm going to do some window shopping around here. You know, I don't have a lot of time on my hand, but do you understand? Are you listening to me tonight? You know why we're here tonight? Every one of us are here. We're here tonight at times not because that we tried to save ourselves, but God saved us in spite of ourselves. Don't you sit up tonight and try to act like, oh, I'm always on target. I'm always on top of things. Oh, no, you're not. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's so many times that God saved us when we wasn't trying to save ourselves. Hallelujah, we were carnal or we had a bad attitude or we was mad at the preacher or we was mad at some friend and held a grudge in our heart and went to bed with a fire burning inside of us and let the sun go down on our wrath. And oh, when it could have grown and it could have possessed our life, God watched over us and God kept us. Hallelujah, that's the reason we're here tonight. But I want to tell you, there ought to be a spirit of thanksgiving that grabs hold of us tonight. When we say, you know, I'm going to do my best never to put myself in a position like that again. I want to stay on fire. I want to stay hungry. I want to keep praying. I want to talk in tongues from here to the glory world. I can't afford to go a whole day without praying. Because there's a traveler. There's a traveler. Hallelujah. When you're out of church, you're out of the will of God. Because Hebrews 10 and 25 tells us, warns us about forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So much more as you see that day approach. Hallelujah. When David was where he was at, he could kill a lion and a bear even when he was a young teenager. When he was in the will of God, he could stand before a giant and slay him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh yes, he was invincible. Hallelujah. But this certain morning, he punched the clock off and rolled over and went back to sleep and said, I'm going to let somebody else do it today. I'm going to tell you, I see that. You know, just ever so often with people in the church. You know, I'm just kind of tired of teaching Sunday school. I'm just kind of tired of working with these young people. I've been doing this a while. I don't think I'm going to sing in the choir any longer. It's like, you know, I'm quit playing a musical instrument. I'll let somebody else take it. It's as if it doesn't mean anything. You know, it never did really mean anything to them. And that, you know, don't even ask the opinion of the pastor. Brother, pastor, what do you think? You think it'd be okay if I'd done this?
Come on. Right.
Just check out a thing. Just be a spectator instead of a participator. Hallelujah. Just nod your head and smile when somebody else is getting a blessing. Somebody else is talking in tongue. But, you know, praise God, I've been here so many years. I've been in the way. You need to get out of the way. You need to get in the altar. We need to pray. We got to keep praying until the end. We got to keep this confidence until the end. We got to keep revival burning on the inside of us. It's not time for us, if we can pay our bills and things have become smooth and comfortable, for us to be satisfied. We need to be as hungry tonight as we've ever been. For somebody to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For somebody's life to be changed. And not only in our church, but in every church around us. God, help me to be as excited about what you're doing for somebody else as I am when you do it for me. When somebody else gets a blessing, it's my blessing too. Because I'm a part of the body of Christ. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let some little offense keep you out of church and think, I've got an excuse not to be there. You know, you just can't believe how somebody treated me. It's a sad thing when one person can keep you out of your church. Oh, I want to tell you, the church needs to be valuable to us. Thank God for a place we can come and get with the family of God and worship and praise Him and hear the preacher of the Word of God. Nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, it's dangerous putting off for another week the consecration you need to make God tonight. You know, I'll wait till next Sunday. I'll wait till another service. A lot can happen in 1 week. I've seen families destroyed in 1 week. I want to tell you, this traveler, he can devour more than you can scrape up. You can have a good job, you can be buying a house, good things can be happening, your kids can be doing well, and in 1 week it can go down the drain. I've seen it happen just recently. I couldn't believe the different things that have happened. Oh yeah. See, all the good things were because God was keeping the blessings coming and God was providing. God knows how to turn the spigot off. And I want to tell you, sin turns the spigot off. Hallelujah. God help us tonight. 1 week, things can happen to change your world. Change your future. Change your family. Change everything you've been working for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get crossed up with a pastor. Criticizing the message on the way home. I want to tell you, the devil can't read your mind. And he don't know everything that's in your heart. But I want to tell you, the traveler can sure listen to what you say on the telephone. That's right. Hallelujah. And he knows it when a little something's working in your attitude. And he knows how to come and ring the bell just in time and say, good morning. Good morning. Come to talk to you a little bit. Would you lend me your ear just a little bit? And all of a sudden, he starts filling your mind full of things that deep down inside you ought to know that you don't believe. That's not true. But you know what? When we get an offense or we get something crossed up inside of us, it affects our ability to see things. And we start coloring everything in around that offense or what we don't like or what we're upset about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to destroy the beautiful things in your life. He wants you to destroy them. He wants you to destroy your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when the traveler comes, you don't need to give him dignity. You don't need to be kind to him. Yeah, I see that in church sometimes. The traveler's working through somebody. Hallelujah. And they go to somebody and they say some outlandish thing, or they do something. And the person, they don't say anything. They sympathize with the person that's crossed up. They give a lended ear to the person that's crossed up. Oh yeah, they get on their side. You know, you can't handle some people like that. I had a man one time connected with us that he was a car salesman, and he would sell automobiles to different dealerships. He'd go in there and they'd tell him no, and he'd go around the corner and come back and he'd talk to them again. He'd hit them week after week after week, and you know what happened? They'd finally just give up. They'd just start buying his stuff. Oh yeah. I know a man that got after another man's wife, and he just kept on telling her all kinds of stuff. Oh yeah. First time he came, she didn't have anything for it, but she started listening to all that stuff. And there was something inside of her that was crosswise. Something she was wanting that she, you know, and all of this. She's listening and listening. All these compliments. Oh yeah. You know, it's hard. A guy works all day on a job, you know, working on engines, and he comes in greasy from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, got old work clothes on, and he stinks like he's been in a hog pen or something, and walks in, and his wife is there, and his kids are there. He's dog tired. He falls into the tub and tries to take a bath, and then all of a sudden, there's somebody working competition with him. They got a suit on. They got cologne on. They just, you know, they bragging to her on the job, you know. Oh, I tell you what, you know, you probably need another husband. You know, you sure look nice. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. What are you hungry for tonight? Hallelujah. I'm going to be through in just a minute. Eve in the Garden of Eden was walking around. See, this traveler has been here a long time. He's a moving around devil. And she was there, you know, and she was just enjoying everything, you know, and her and Adam, and the Lord would come and walk with them in the cool of the evening, and here we are by ourselves, and, oh really? Eve, are you really by yourself? I want to ask you, are you really by yourself tonight? Do you know what might be lurking around you right now, watching you, analyzing your situation, trying to set the trap, trying to make the conditions just right, waiting for the moment that you're at your lowest, going to have everything set out waiting on you when you get there? Hallelujah. We need to realize as a traveler. I said we need to realize that we have an enemy. The adversary is the devil. That's who the traveler is. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. He's got time to wait if it takes time.
He's got time to work on other people if it takes time. You pass your church a little while and you'll become amazed at how connections are made in the congregation. You look over, you see somebody and you think, man, there's something working on them. They're not normal tonight. And then you look across the auditorium at one of their best friends and the things working on them too. There's connections that are made. I want to tell you, that's not just those people that are doing that. They're so blinded. They don't realize that there's a traveler that's going back and forth. There's a traveler, hallelujah, that he's busy about what he's doing. He's accusing the brethren. He's full of propaganda. He's full of lies. The Bible says lies is his language. He is the father of lies. Oh, we're here all by ourselves. Oh no, Eve, you're not here all by yourself. Oh no. All of a sudden she hears a voice from under the tree. Let's call it the tree. Because it wasn't just any tree. It was the one tree in the garden that God said, stay away from it. In so many words, that's what he was saying. Don't touch it. Just don't fool with it. You know, the best way to not touch something is don't get within reach of it. Hallelujah. Don't get within sight of it if it's appealing to the eye. If it's music to your ears, you need to turn it off and quit listening to it. There's a sinister spirit behind it. There's a traveler behind that devilish music that's trying to put a demon inside of you that you can't get rid of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why in the world was Eve hanging around the tree? Isn't it a rotten shame with all the other things that were in the garden? Why was she not on the other side of the garden among the coconut trees and the strawberry patches and the big watermelons and all the roses and the flowers and all the beautiful things? What in the world was she doing spending her time around the one tree? Hallelujah. Complaining, no doubt, if you could hear it. I just don't understand. I don't understand why that. I just don't understand why God's got to be the way He is and keep this thing from me. I just don't understand. I want to tell you what's wrong with you. You need some faith in your heart. The Bible says it's by faith that we understand that the words were formed, hallelujah, by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. When people are talking about, don't understand this, don't understand that, don't understand this. You need to pray through. You need to get a hold of God all over again. You need to build up your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's amazing that some people, all they can do is see the restrictions. All they can do is see the guardrail. Hallelujah. Around the curve. Hallelujah. Why can't we just move it a little bit further? I mean, I think I can crawl over that without falling off the cliff. Hallelujah. Some people want a pastor to be like a driver that sees how close he can drive to the edge. We're not interested in seeing how close we can drive to the edge. Hallelujah. We don't have the attitude, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That was the spirit of the rich young ruler. Draw a line. Let me go as far as I can go. Some people want to see how much weight they can take on and still be in the race. When the Bible says lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Pentecostal preachers still need to preach against some things that are not sin. Oh yeah. We don't need to develop some kind of loophole theology where we advise people, you know, you come over here, you can do this and you can do that and you can still stay in the race. People that are in the race that wants to win are interested in extra baggage. I'm going to strip off everything that I can strip out. I want to be saved. See how close you can get to the edge. What are you doing around the tree? What are you doing hanging around the tree? Just don't understand. Just don't understand why. You know, we can't do this. We can't do that. Never see the positive things in the garden. Sometimes we are that way.
I want to tell you, if somebody wanted to know about football and you want to get them interested in football, you wouldn't give them all the different rules. You'd try to get them excited about the game. Hallelujah. We don't need to just show them the rules and, you know, there's the line. And we need to show them, hey, God's got something better than the devil has. God's got more to offer than the devil has. If you get enough of God inside of you, you won't be hungry for any junk that the devil has. Hallelujah. The reason people get, hallelujah, to where they're eating off of the devil's table is because they haven't been saved at the real table. They haven't been eating those things that bring life and happiness and peace and joy and satisfaction. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Well, church just ain't what it used to be. Oh, it's everything it used to be. God's still on the throne. He's still offering the same salvation that He did on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Our problem is we're not full of it. We're full of something else. We're so full of buying and selling and living and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and all this kind of stuff.
Come on.
And the traveler, is playing us like a fiddle. Oh, yes, he is. Where we make it a personal thing between us and somebody else. Why can't we just say, you know, we're going to work it out because we're brothers and sisters and we're going to find out what's really starting all this stuff. It's the traveler. It's the invisible main party behind anything that's tearing and cutting and slicing and killing. Because He came to kill and steal and destroy. I cannot believe the most bitter fruit that God had in that garden. I can't believe that the forbidden fruit was better than any of it. Even the worst. Because we're better off at our worst times, you know, the world is at their best times. Hallelujah. God's fruit. God's fruit. Hallelujah. We need to realize something's moving, working on us. Hallelujah. There's a traveler, there's a stranger. Because we don't know who he is. We don't recognize him. He works behind the scenes. He's a killer. Several years ago, I heard a story and used to preach about it. About a couple that was going out to eat, and they called a little babysitter in to take care of the kids. And so she had been with the kids. It was time for them to go to bed and took them upstairs and put them in their beds and came back downstairs sitting on the sofa waiting for the parents to come in. All of a sudden, she got a phone call. This was in a day that they don't have the technology we have now, but there was a phone call, and she answered it, and this voice on the other end was a man's voice. He said, "Lady, you better get upstairs. Your children are in trouble." And shook her. She hung up, or the phone went dead, and so she hung up, and she thought somebody's pulling a prank here. And a little bit, the phone rang again, said, "Lady, you better get upstairs. Your children are in trouble." Again, the phone went dead and she hung up. And the third time, more urgent and gruff, "Lady, you better get upstairs if you care about these kids. They're in trouble." And the phone went dead and she called an operator and said, "Operator, this is what's happened." Told the story and she said, "Well, just hang up the phone," and said, "I'll be waiting on the other end. If he calls back again, I'll be listening." And sure enough, in a little bit, the phone rang again. And voice on the other end, "Lady, get upstairs. Your children are in trouble." That operator began to scream and said, "Lady, get out of that house. There's a stranger in your house." She notified the police and the woman ran out. And just in minutes, the police were there, ran up the stairs into the bedrooms, and there was a madman there bathed in blood. And he had taken and literally butchered those little children. She had a stranger in her house. And she didn't realize that he was there. I'm going to tell you, we got a traveler. You look at what's happening in our world. You look at what's happening with people. I mean, there's just a breaking down and deterioration of all things. It's hard to believe the perversion. Gays in the military that just challenge anybody to say anything about what they're doing. Wants them to say something to get them in trouble. Same-sex marriage. Pornography everywhere. Cell phones, computers, the internet. This traveler is moving like he's never moved before. I'm going to have to say that my heart goes out to our young people. They're facing things that we never faced. That's right. Somebody become twisted and wanted to know about something, they'd have to go somewhere to find it somewhere. Somewhere in a major city somewhere. Whatever. But now it's at the click of a button. And I'm going to tell you, he's knocking, he's knocking, he's knocking, he's knocking, he's knocking. Sometimes I talk to kids and they're fighting it, and they're fighting it, and he keeps knocking, he keeps coming. And he comes, you don't have to go to him. Like I said, he comes to you. And something pops up, and something, you know, all everywhere you go, everywhere. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says when you shall see these signs come to pass, look up. Don't get shook up, but look up. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, we've got somebody that can handle the traveler. But we're going to have to stay on our toes. We're going to have to want to be saved. There was a time that pastors could draw a line, get a little circle, and listen, you know, and just kind of isolate to a degree and choose their fellowship. And you know, you can try to do that, and we still try to do it. We try to keep the wolf off. But I'm going to tell you, you can't. You can't just go in your little house and close the doors and turn the lights out. And don't you? You're a fool if you think you're by yourself. You're not by yourself. Oh, it's just me and Adam here. Oh, no, it's not Eve. You don't realize, you think it's your choice you want to make and your decision, and you'd like to experience this, and you'll experience this, and then you'll be over with. No, we got stuff now with hooks in it. Just one little trip and you can't get over it unless God helps you get over it. Addictions, things that are driving people, and some kind of so-called friend that comes along like the friend of Amnon. Hallelujah. That says, hey, you can have what you want. You come on, I want to encourage you, you know, you little Pentecostal, you know, I know what your mom and your daddy's doing and saying, and you know, but you need to listen to me, and I'm a little older than you, and I know what it's all about, and we just never know. God, help us to be praying. Help us, God, to be sensitive. Let the Holy Ghost be able to talk to us where we can be warned when things are not right. When the traveler's in our house and we don't even realize it. Hallelujah. He's put our kids to sleep and he's got his butcher knife and he's cutting them open. I remember several years ago when my dad had open heart surgery and they put him in such a deep sleep. They took a saw and they sawed his breastplate open. Bone open and opened it up and took his heart and held it in their hands as they worked on him. And then, you know, we were all there, and I just happened to be in the right place when they pushed my dad out to put him in the recovery room. I looked at him. There was no color in his face. He was more dead than he was alive. They had lowered his blood pressure so low. They the heart quits beating, and they work on the heart. Oh, yes. And the doctor said, he's in recovery and everything's all right. Well, I knew everything was not all right. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times our kids are asleep, sitting on these pews, and we're rocking them to sleep in the cradle of our own churches. And then they're just getting deeper and deeper, and mama don't know anything about it, and daddy's naive to it, and we're all busy making money and doing whatever we want to do. And then the traveler's inside our house. The traveler's working. I preach it to somebody here tonight. The devil's got his old rusted butcher knife, and he's cutting you open, and he's getting a hold of your heart, and you don't even realize it. I'm trying to sound a trumpet and wake somebody up, some daddy up, some daddy that's believing some kind of crazy story that you need to leave your family, you need to leave your wife, that you'll be happy with somebody else.
It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It never works. Somebody contact somebody that they went to school with on the internet and leave their home and their job and their family and their kids. They're not by themselves. The old traveler's there with them. The traveler's there with them. I'm going to tell you, somebody can wake up tonight. Somebody can wake up. Hallelujah. Jonah asleep in the bottom of the boat, the only man that could do something, that knew God, and he was asleep. Lot sitting at the gate when the angels came at evening time, the only man that could do something sitting there. Let it not be that way with the church. 14 years of revival, pushing. You know what can happen after 14 years of pushing and building programs? We can become weary in well-doing. And what we stood against in the morning, we fall for in the evening. Like Adonijah that turned a deaf ear to Absalom, the smooth tongue. Charismatic, long-haired devil that took most of Israel with his charisma, caught up in the euphoria of his promises of success in rebellion. I want to tell you, Joab said no to that. No to that. But then when Adonijah comes, later in life, a less appealing invitation. He did not have the vocabulary the first traveler had. But because of tiredness and weary and what where he was at in life, we can get tired, can't we? We can get tired, but we must be wary. Because there's a traveler. There's a traveler. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. If I'd done what a part of me would feel like doing, I'd apologize for preaching like I have tonight, but I'm not going to apologize for it. But I want to tell you what we need to do. I know there's a lot going on, and I don't think it's going to take all night. But I think there's some people here tonight that needs to pray. In fact, I really think we all need to pray. I'm sure the great men on this platform feel like I do. If we ever needed Jesus, we need Him. We need Him tonight. There's so many doors being opened. You can't watch every door. If He don't keep the house, it's not going to be kept. If He don't keep the city, it's not going to be kept. Hallelujah. The devil wants to get our kids. We've ever travailed and prayed. We need to be travailing and praying for our kids. I've got four boys. You know where they're at? They're at the prime of life. That's where they're at. Teenage years. You go to a mall, it's there. You go here and it's there. It's everywhere. And yet, in the middle of a cesspool, we're all trying to keep our families. While we're fighting to keep our families, the devil comes and knocks on our door. Tries to play with our mind. Oh, we need to be praying every morning. We need to be getting on our face and saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to face today. And it don't matter. It don't matter how long I've been preaching or when I got the Holy Ghost. I need you like I did that first night as 8 years old in an altar crying and praying. You gave me the Holy Ghost. I need you to help me, God. I need you to help me, God. So many voices clamoring, trying to be heard. I need you to help me. Is anybody here tonight? Is anybody here tonight that'd like to come and find a place? Stand or kneel or whatever. But just a few minutes. Ask God to protect your home, your marriage. Your little children, your little kids.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
With my whole heart, I'm gonna love you with my whole mind. I'll live for you. Take my heart, every single part, wholehearted. I'm in love with you. With my whole heart, I'm gonna love you with my whole mind. I'll live for you. Take my heart, every single part. I'm whole.
Someone tonight.
I'll live for you.
Heard a word tonight.
Take my
God,
heart.
Give you a chance to
every single part.
With every temple, also made a way. Hallelujah. Back, you can tell the traveler. Hey. Had a visit from the
traveler. I'll live for you.
Oh, there's somebody here that's been talking.